expresses the thought of our lesson this morning. The sacrificial love of Christ. The verses that were read in our hearing, we can see from them, if you were reading along, that Jesus said that with the same love that God loved him, he loved his disciples. And he proved his love by keeping his Father's commandments. That's why in verse 14 he says, "You are my friends if you do whatsoever I have commanded you." So in the same way, Jesus tells us that we prove our love for him by following him and by keeping his commandments. He stated, as I just read, that there is no greater love than that love which moves a man to lay down his life for his friends. That is what sacrificial love is all about. When we look at the word sacrificial, it is an adjective that describes the word sacrifice. And the word sacrifice is the act of offering the life of a person or an animal or some object in propitiation of or homage to a deity. It is the act of giving up, destroying, permitting injury to, or foregoing something valued for the sake of something having a more pressing claim. Sacrificial, then, is having the nature of offering a sacrifice. And this is the very thing, as I've said, that Jesus did. By his very nature, he being God, like his Father was God, had the same nature as his Father. And we are well aware of what the Bible says as Jesus is in a discussion with Nicodemus in John chapter 3 and verse 16, when he says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have an everlasting life." It was this same nature that God the Father had, that Jesus the Son, the Christ, had, when he gave himself to be crucified on the cross, foregoing his own value, so that the world might have a chance to be one day at home with him, enjoying all the splendor and the glory of heaven that he endured. He forewent his own value, and he gave his life in order for you and I to come home and be with him. That's sacrificial love. And he demonstrated that love. How did he demonstrate that love? Romans chapter 5, verses 6. The Bible says, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly." When we look at this thing of sacrificial love, and if we put it in our own context or look at it from our perspective, or from man's perspective, or the natural man, our first instinct is to preserve our own life, even if it means choosing our own life over that of a truly righteous person. No wonder Paul went on in Romans chapter 5 and verse 7, and he says, "For scarcely shall a righteous man will one die, venture. For a good man, some would even dare to die. Oh, we would think, we would say, can I really give my life even for a righteous man? Y'all remember Peter? One of the apostles, one of the 12, who professed and who claimed that he would never deny Christ. Jesus said in Luke chapter 9, or chapter 22 rather, he said, Simon, Simon, Satan has desired you to sift you as wheat. He said, but I prayed for you that your faith fail you not. But when thou art converted, he says, strengthen the brethren. And right after that, Peter said, Lord, I'm ready to go with you, not only to prison, but also into death. Jesus says, before the cock crows in the morning, you're going to deny me three times. This Peter said that I'll even die for you. But when the rubber met the road, Peter was not willing to give up his life for Jesus. That's what I mean when I said from the natural instinct. Our first instinct is to preserve our own lives. For Jesus. And one thing about Jesus in giving up his life, the Bible says that he died for us while we were yet sinners. And not only that, but here's another thing about the sacrificial love. He did that when he knew already that the vast majority of the world would still remain sinners. That's sacrificial love. That he's willing to give his own life when he knows that the majority of folks are not going to accept it. How do I know he knew it? Because of what he said in the Sermon on the Mount. In Matthew chapter 7, in verse number 13, this is what Jesus said. He says, enter you in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. But yet the same Jesus that said that gave his life for the many that would even go in that straight and narrow gate. That's sacrificial love. Knowing all the time that many would not obey him. Then he goes on and says, because straight is the gate, narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Thank God this morning for the sacrificial love. So in spite of knowing all of this, he died to take away the sin of the entire world. Hebrews 2 and verse 9. He gave up. I'm talking about how did he demonstrate this sacrificial love. He gave up. Notice part of that definition that I read off to you was giving up some things. He gave up the glory, the splendor, and the riches of heaven in order that you and I could be rich. Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse number 9, well, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for our sake, or your sake, he became poor, that we through his poverty might become rich. He was willing to sacrifice all of what he had in order that you and I could have what he gave up. That's sacrificial love.
thank God this morning for the sacrificial love of Jesus Christ. All of what he had, all of who he was, he didn't think it a thing to grasp or to hold on to, as Paul said by inspiration in Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 5. He said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who thought it not, or rather who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. How many of us this morning would be willing to give up everything that we have in order to somebody that somebody else could have what we gave up? In our natural way, we'd want to hold on to something. But Jesus willingly gave it all up in order that we could be rich. Bible says again, made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Brothers and sisters, friends and neighbors, this morning, that's truly sacrificial love. Think about this song that we sing sometimes. Hadn't sung it in a long, long time, Brother Malone and song leaders. In Gethsemane alone. Look at what a couple of the verses says. Oh, what wondrous love I see, freely shown for you and me, by the one who did atone, just to show his matchless grace. Jesus suffered for the race in Gethsemane alone. We realize what happened in Gethsemane, don't we? Even before he went to the cross, his apostles were there with him for a while. But when he got up from praying, he came back and they had fallen asleep. He was all alone there in Gethsemane, getting ready to go to the cross. But then the song goes on and says, the chorus of that song says, oh, what love, matchless love. Oh, what love for me was shown. His forever I will be, for the love he gave for me when he suffered all alone. I'm talking about sacrificial love. That love is so deep. That love is so high. It's so wide. Until it takes some deep thought to comprehend what that love is all about. Paul talked about that when he prayed for the Ephesian Christians in Ephesians chapter 3. Again in that verse number 14. He says, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by the Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to do what? Comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with the fullness of God. I say to us this morning that somehow this morning we must try to comprehend the love of Christ. How wide is that love? How long is that love? How low does it extend? And how high does it reach? What kind of love is it that causes a man to lay down his life for his friend? You remember what Jesus says? Greater love has no man than that a man lay down his life for his friends. Oh, what kind of love causes a man then to give his life even for his enemies, that they may have a chance to be saved from their own disgusting ways? It's sacrificial love that would do that. We then must conclude that there is no greater love than this, than the love that Jesus showed on the cross. And because he showed such love to us, We ought to also show such love to one another. 1 John 3 and verse 16 says this: Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. How then should we respond to that sacrificial love of Jesus Christ? Again, another song comes to mind. I gave my life for thee. Listen to what a couple of verses says. I gave my life for thee. My precious blood I shed, that thou mightest ransom be and quicken from the dead. I gave my life for thee. What hast thou given for me? Thought-provoking song. Another verse says, I suffered much for thee, more than tongue can tell, of bitterest agony to rescue thee from hell. I borne it all for thee. What hast thou borne for me? I hope that song will provoke us to realize that we ought to do all that we can for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because he did it all for us. How should we respond then to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and to the God of heaven who sent his Son to die for our sins? We ought to respond by giving him all the love we have. As a matter of fact, that's what he requires. Question was asked, what is the greatest commandment? And the answer came back in Matthew chapter 22 and verse number 37, that we are to love him with all our hearts. You can read it there and you probably know what the verse says. But basically what he is saying is that we should love him with everything we got. Why? Because he did it all for us. There is nothing too good for us to do for the Lord. Whatever it takes, whatever he requires, we ought to be willing to do it, because he first loved us. We must realize then that it ought to be all about God and never about us. I started off talking about the first instinct of the natural man is to save his own life, save his own skin. That should not be the way we think when it comes to obeying God. Even if we have to give our lives for the cause of Christ, we ought to willingly do it, because he willingly gave up his life for us. Yes, indeed, we ought to respond by loving God with all that we have. We ought to respond to this sacrificial love by living a transformed life. And a transformed life is all about living a sacrificial life. Paul said it like this in Romans chapter 12, beginning at verse number 1. Up to that point, he had talked about all what God had done for us through Christ Jesus. And now he says to them, because of what God has done for us, or what God has done for you, Roman Christians, here's the way you ought to respond to that love. So he says, I beseech you, therefore, by the mercies of God. And you know what put Christ on the cross? The mercy of God. That's why he went to the cross, because God was merciful for a sin-sick world. So he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you do what? Present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Jesus presented his body to become a dead sacrifice. Hebrews chapter 10 talks about this thing where he says, a body that has prepared for me, in order that he could die for our sin. So he presented himself as a dead sacrifice. But now God calls upon us to present ourselves as a living sacrifice. What does sacrifice mean? Giving up some things. Being in agony, if you will. Giving up some things for a greater good. Oh, are we willing to give up some things? So Paul went on to say then, present your bodies as a living sacrifice unto God. And then he says, it's holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That's just what we ought to do, because of what he did for us. That's what we ought to do. It ought not be a thing that we got to think about it. That's just reasonable. If somebody would do that for you and for me, it's just reasonable that I ought to do something for them. So then he says, that's just your reasonable service. So then we ought to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. As a matter of fact, we ought to feel compelled to do that. That's what Paul said in Second Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 14. He says, for the love of Christ constrains us. It compels us. Because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. How many of us this morning are living to ourselves? Getting up and don't want to come to church and say, well, I don't think I'm going today because I just don't want to. That's living unto yourself. Not wanting to help somebody, that's living unto yourself. Holding a grudge, that's living unto yourself. How many of us this morning are still living unto ourselves? If we're going to do that, Christ didn't have to die for us. He died so that we wouldn't do that anymore, but that we should live unto him. So whatever he requires, we should be willing to do it. When we truly have the love of God, it will not be hard for us to sacrifice, to live a sacrificial life. It won't be so hard for us to walk in newness of life when we truly have the love of God in our hearts, even when it causes us to sacrifice. Paul said it like this in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. He says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Yes, we must live a sacrificial life, one that we have died to ourselves, one that we have put ourselves on the altar and have died to ourselves. I think about another song. Is your all on the altar? We used to sing that a long, long time ago. Some of the words of that song says this. You have longed for sweet peace and for faith to increase. You have earnestly, you have fervently prayed. But you cannot find rest, nor be perfectly blessed, until you all on the altar is laid. We got to put ourselves on the altar, church. Sacrifice ourselves. And then the chorus of that song says, is you all on the altar of sacrifice is laid. Your heart does the spirit control. You can only be blessed and have peace and find sweet rest after you have yielded him, your body and your soul. That's what Matthew 22 and verse 37 is talking about. Loving him with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, with everything that you have. You got to yield that to our Heavenly Father. I'm talking about living the sacrificial life for the Lord, because he gave his life as a sacrifice for us. Must put off the old man and put on the new man. Colossians chapter 3, verses 7 through 10. We must seek the good of others by teaching the lost. And it takes time and it takes effort and it takes sacrifice sometimes to do that. It may even inconvenience us, but we must sacrifice in order to do that. We may run up against opposition, but we must sacrifice. We must not be like Peter. When the young maid comes to him and says, I know that you're one of them because you are Galilean. Your speech betrays you. You know, the Bible says Peter began to curse. I don't know the man. So if we run up against opposition, and even in teaching the laws, we must be willing to sacrifice. Yes. Why? Because Christ sacrificed it for us. We must be willing to love one another, even as we've already talked about a scripture where Jesus says, if God did this for you, paraphrasing it, you ought to love one another. No wonder Jesus says a new commandment, John 13, verse 34, I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. He says, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. So sometimes in order to love folks, We got to sacrifice our feeling toward them. Did y'all hear me that? In order to love folks, sometimes we got to sacrifice how we would naturally feel toward them. You know how we'll naturally feel toward our enemies? That we want to do to them the same thing they did to us. But we got to sacrifice that feeling. We got to give that feeling up in order to love like God wants us to love. I'm talking about how do we respond to the sacrificial love of Christ. We respond in the same way that he responded for our salvation. He gave up everything. We got to be willing to give up whatever it takes, even if it's everything, for him. No wonder the Bible says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 10 and 11, herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to do what? Love one another. Oh, yes, it takes sacrifice. I talk about forgiveness all the time, but it takes sacrifice to forgive folks. It takes sacrifice to forgive because, again, we want to hold on to that thing. But do you not know we are doing damage to our own spiritual self by holding on to that thing? As long as you hold on to that thing, you can never be happy as long as you're thinking about that. If that person or those persons, if they came in your presence, you just can't be happy. But if you can just forgive, you can be happy. And there's nothing better in this world than being happy. Why go through this life being bound, being imprisoned by something somebody did to you? Jesus says we need to forgive. It takes sacrifice to do that. Oh, yes, brothers and sisters, it takes sacrifice. This is only possible if we manifest sacrificial love in our lives. Because, you know, whatever God tells us to do, even though we think it's hard sometimes, but I believe the scripture tells us it's not hard. It's not hard. The reason why it's hard is because we're not willing to sacrifice. That's when it becomes hard, when we are not willing to sacrifice. The scripture says this in 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 3. Notice what it says. The scripture says that the commandments of God are not grievous. Did y'all hear that? They are not grievous. But we make them grievous because we don't want to sacrifice. Oh, yes. Because you see, many times the commandments of God goes against the natural man. And I've said this on a few occasions, and let me say it again this morning, that most of the time, folks have a tendency to live by their emotions. Now, emotions are all right. But if they contradict God's will, we got to let emotions go. What am I talking about? I'm talking about sacrifice. But so many folks are not willing to give up their emotions. So many times, the commands of God, some of them goes against our emotions. Talking about forgiveness again. Our emotions just won't let us give it up. As Brother Larry Williams, when he was preaching here on one occasion, wasn't talking about this, but he used this phrase, let it go. So many of us can't let it go. We want to hold on to our emotion. We let our emotion drive us. But the Word of God needs to drive us. And if the Word of God goes against our emotions, let our emotions go and hold on to the Word of God. And I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, we'll never grow until we do. We'll never grow until we crucify ourselves and give up those things that cling on to our emotions. Notice what Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 1, chapter 2 rather, verses 1 through 3. Look at what he says. He says, wherefore laying aside all malice. You know what malice is? Wrapped up in emotions. And all guile, emotions again. And hypocrisies, that even gets into the realm of emotions. And envies, emotions. And evil speakings, emotions. He said, lay aside those things. But if we can't sacrifice them, we'll never lay aside. And then the next verse he says, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. Before he ever talked about growth, he says, here's some things you got to get rid of. And We'll never grow unless we can lay aside our emotions. The Lord is our greatest example of this. He was a natural man, of course. It's God also, but living in the flesh. When he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he was in agony. The Bible talks about him being in agony. But he was willing to sacrifice, to endure all of that agony in order that you and I might be saved. You know how he prayed that, if there be any other way, let this cup pass from me. But then he says, what? Nevertheless, that's the sacrificial part of it. Nevertheless, not as I will, but thine be done. Thank God for the sacrificial love of Jesus. So as I conclude then this morning, brothers and sisters, in view of all that I've said about what God has done for us and how he gave Jesus as a demonstration of his great love, we can be assured that when we are keeping his commandments and doing his will, that he'll never abandon us and we'll never have to walk through this life alone. He didn't bring us this far to leave us. He didn't send his son and allow his son to shed his blood upon the cross and then turn around and leave us. No, he will go with us all the way. So let us find then comfort in the words of the inspired Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 8 and verse 38 and 39 when he said, for I am persuaded, I'm convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. So, my brothers and sisters, this morning, nothing that this world can throw at us can cut us off from the love of Christ. There is trouble in this life, and there will be trouble in this life. More is going to come, Brother James, as you preached that sermon years ago. Bring it on. More is going to come. But when we are living close to God, doing his will, we'll still be in the love of Christ. Nothing will separate us. If we have to suffer for his sake, we know that he first suffered for us. And if we are lined up even as sheep for the slaughter, and our lives are taken from us, for his name's sake, we can know that he first died for us. And one day we'll live with him because we'll be conquerors in death. Leaders of nations, they may wipe us from the face of the earth, but they will never be able to separate us from the love of God. Nothing in the present, nor anything in the future, can cut us off from the love of Christ. No high power, or no low force, can lessen the love that our Lord has for us. There is no mountain high enough, there's no valley low enough to separate us from the love of God. And it's all because of the sacrificial love of Jesus. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. You are my friends, he says, if you do whatsoever I command you. Are you a friend of the Lord? Do you appreciate his love? Are you thankful for his love? Are you living according to his will? Are you a member of his body that he purchased on the cross of Calvary when he shed his blood because of that sacrificial love? If you're not a member of his body, I want to encourage you this morning to become a member of his body. What's his body? His body is the church. Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. He wants all men to be members of the same body. Ephesians 3 and verse number 6. He's going to save that body. Ephesians 5 and verse 23. There is one body. Ephesians 4 and verse 4. Do you appreciate his love? Are you a member of his body? If not, I urge you to obey the gospel. Believe in him as the Son of God. Repent of your past sins. Confess your faith in Jesus Christ. Be buried in a watery grave of baptism for the remission of sins. When you do that, the Lord will add you to his church. Live a faithful life, a life of sacrifice, because he sacrificed for you. Live that life of faithfulness unto death. Jesus says, I'll give you a crown of life. Are you here then this morning, a member of his body, but somehow you're walking contrary to the will of God. Somehow you just can't bring yourself to live that sacrificial life, to give it all up for him. I want to encourage you this morning to determine that you're going to live that sacrificial life. Maybe you walk contrary to the will of God. Repent of that. If you need to confess, why not do that? If you just need prayer, whatever your need is this morning, because of the sacrificial love of Christ, you ought to come right now while we stand. While we stand.